Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Case in point, Jairus. This is Wretched Radio. If you happen to be a young and you're a Gen Z or a teenager, and you are hearing the refrain of the world that sings to you, your parents are stupid. You need to get away from those oppressors. They just want to ruin your life. And all you want to do is find a wife. Well, take a knife and cut those cords because your parents are stupid. Something like, you know, I wonder, you know, with all the kerfuffles at the Hillsong, if they're looking for songwriters, I'll check into that. What does Jairus have to do with you and your parents? It's an interesting note in the narrative that Jairus, who was a synagogue official, synagogues, were, think basically churches, and depending on the size of the town, varying sizes. Some of them could be actually quite sizable. It was the centerpiece of the town, even if it wasn't in the middle of the village, because they tended to be on an elevated plane, always had to make sure that if you're praying in that synagogue, you're pointed toward Jerusalem. Some of them, they would have just a big open area, benches around the outside. And they would even, some of them would have a balcony level. So they were not inconsequential buildings, and they were the center of activity for the town. Not only did you meet there for, if you will, worship, to hear the Torah read, to hear the scriptures expounded, to pray, but it would also just be civic activities. It would also be legal decisions, at least biblical legal decisions, because they didn't have the authority of the government. Rome possessed that. But the synagogues, they could flog you. They couldn't execute you, but they could indeed hold court on Jewish people. That was the synagogue, and there were different individuals that had different levels of authority and different roles. The top synagogue official would determine the readings. He would be the one to make sure that everything is running the way that it's supposed to, probably not doing the facility and the upkeep, but making sure that everything is kosher inside of the synagogue. He was not a religious official. The Pharisees and the scribes, they maintained that level, that order. But the synagogue official, a lay person, was right underneath a scribe. So in other words, Jairus, being this synagogue official, he was an important dude. He was a big deal in Capernaum. It was a town of about 1,500 people. Very, very consequential town, though, because it was on the trade routes. So a very international city, a lot of coming and going. And Jairus would have been considered a big shot. And then his daughter died. And he knew about this healer, this rabbi named Jesus Christ. Perhaps he'd even seen some of the healings. Maybe he sat at his feet and heard him preach. Who knows? Maybe he was at the Sermon on the Mount. And when his daughter died, he knew where to turn. He found Jesus. And the Bible gives a little, what appears to be just a drive-by word. He bowed down. It was in obeisance. It was in humility. And we do well to ask the question, why? Why would such an esteemed fellow do something so, well, frankly, humiliating? Number one, he knew that Jesus could do what he desperately wanted done. So he humbled himself. But I think there's another component to this that I think has something to do with you if you're a teenager or Gen Zer. He loved his daughter. He'd do anything for his daughter. Anything. Not talking sinful. This man was willing to humiliate himself in front of crowds of people, because that's what was going on. If you remember the flow through Matthew, Matthew gets called, immediately throws a party in his house. It doesn't tell us that it was Matthew and Matthew, but I think Mark and Luke both say Matthew threw a party filled with tax collectors and sinners. Estimated number of people in attendance, 200. It was basically a party for Jesus because Matthew knew that soon he would be ostracized for following Jesus Christ. So he brings all his sinful buddies to meet with Jesus. It was evangelistic. And while they were speaking, while Jesus was talking to them about why people don't fast when the bridegroom is here, Jairus enters the scene and he humbles himself because he loved his daughter. If you think your parents are idiots, if you think that your parents just want to ruin your life, you don't know how much they love you. You don't know. You can't know. You can't know. Because not only would your parents die for you, they'd live for you. They have been living for you. And they would do anything for you. And your friends will affirm every idiotic idea that you ever concoct. Hey, guys, so I heard about this thing where you go parachuting. Yeah, but it's like without a parachute. And your buddies are going to go, dude, that sounds awesome. And then you bring that idea to your parents and they're going to go, wait a second, what? You're going to jump out of an airplane without a parachute. Yeah, well, there's like video. Somebody was able to do. And they're going to talk you off of that ledge. Even if it's agitating. Even if it makes them look like they're just trying to oppress you and take away all of your fun. Why? Because they love you. Listen to them. Seek their wisdom. If you got a rift with your parents and you have been complicit in that rift, repent to them. You watch, your relationship will change instantly. Historically, I've encouraged parents to always repent to their kids. So I'm don't think that I'm at one side here. This is like a drop into the parental admonition bucket. Repent to your parents. If you've been a snotty kid, tell them you're sorry. You've been ghosting them, tell them you're sorry. You watch that relationship heal on a dime. And then be wise. Tap into them because nobody will have your best in mind as much as your parents, who love you more than anybody else on the planet. Idea@wretched.org, 877-282-2337.
All right, this question
didn't
is...
get an amen from you. I'm a little disappointed. You're in there nodding your head.
You heard me nodding. You saw me nodding my head.
Well, actually, that rattling sound now is explained.
That's right.
Yeah.
But you're right. No, I mean, I tell my kids all the time.
You do. Ding, ding, ding.
What?
If you said the same thing that I just said, it bounces right off of them.
Yeah.
But that's why we need to be telling each other's kids this.
Well, what I'm saying is I tell them all the time, your friends are going to come and go, but who are you going to call when you get in trouble? You're not going to call your friends.
Every single time.
You're going to call your parents.
Yep. Yeah. And so why not cultivate that?
Mm-hmm.
If you think that historically it's been sour, it could be sweet. Look, they've sinned. That's a given. So have you. It is incumbent upon you as a Christian to repent of your sins too. I'm telling you, this can happen on an instant. I'm actually, going to be preaching on this just a bit this Sunday, because Jesus warns that he came. We need to remember both Isaiah a number of times that he is the Prince of Peace. He comes to bring peace between God and man, but he warns us that there is an effect of following Jesus Christ, and that is division between mother and daughter, father and son, etc. It's going to happen. Now, please note, just because that can happen doesn't mean that that is an unalterable dynamic in your relationship. It doesn't mean that it can never be fixed. It can be fixed. Now, if you're a parent and you're listening, I'll do a shout out in just for the sake of fairness, and you have been overbearing, sinful, don't keep a list of their sins. That's on them. Repent. And if you're a teenager, you're a young adult, do yourself one of the biggest favors you can ever do for yourself. Repent to your parents and let it start again and let it cultivate and let it grow. Now, mom and dad maybe need to work on not being as overbearing. not being controlling, not expecting that their adult child has to do every single thing that they indicate that they should do. So we might need to moderate that, but the conversation could happen. Son, daughter, please explain to me why it is that you found us to be so overbearing. And you got to be careful on this one, because they're going to say things like, well, you're just trying to control me. Then you're going to go, well, yeah, that's because you were doing dumb things. And if you went to that party that night and look what happened to your friends when they overdosed on. Don't do it. Listen and let them help you become wise and better. And vice versa. Ask your parents what it is that you've been doing that has gotten so far up their nose. And having those conversations, wouldn't you like it to be fresh and new? Wouldn't you like for it to be good? I know you do. Everybody does. You want a good relationship with your parents. You know, it's not just the movies. Kids, they love their parents even when they are absolute nightmares, because that's the way God has wired us. And if you've got Christian parents, or if you've got parents that are just decent folk, maybe they're not believers. Something fresh and new could happen this very day. Wouldn't you like that? This is Wretched Radio.
All right, listen up, folks. I've got some exciting news for you, because if you've been looking to share the gospel and make a real impact, then we've got the perfect thing for you at the Wretched Store at wretched.org. Of course, you've heard about our gospel booklets. Head over to wretched.org and stock up on these life-changing gospel booklets. Your friends, your family, and even complete strangers will thank you for sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Gospel booklets available now at wretched.org.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Picture this, later this year, 8 brilliant minds will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us.
This May, how would you like to create countless Mother's Day celebrations? You say, I can only have one Mother's Day celebration because I only have one mother. Enter Preborn Ministries, providing ultrasounds and, best of all, the gospel. During the month of May, we have a matching gift campaign taking place, which means dollar for dollar, your gift will be matched. Would you please consider creating countless Mother's Day celebrations? Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Meet Dr. Greg Gifford. Of course, most of you have already met him as he hosts the Transform TV series and the Transformed podcast. We are so excited about the continued content that he will produce, and your support can help us bring more voices like Dr. Gifford's to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign today, where every dollar you're able to give will be matched. All the details are at wretched.org/fellows. Wretched, amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, don't have study Bibles. The amazing Masters Academy International, don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sufficiency. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God. Salvation, doctrine, and life. We do not need any additional revelation to know who God is and what He requires of us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, let's see what this button does. I remember now you can actually use your phone as a phone, which was, they don't call them phones anymore. Is it just your cell? Because that encompasses more than just calling.
Really?
Isn't it? I think so.
Devices.
No, I was thinking about the whole texting thing. I was sending somebody a text the other day, and as I was assembling these thoughts, I was just amazed that we're communicating at this level via symbols. And the idea of getting on the phone, it's got to be really big, man. Otherwise, just text me. I'm sorry. There have got to be implications to this. There's no way that this cannot affect human beings. How is it that we have moved from, hey, it would be great if we could communicate, and so what did we come up with? Well, the telegraph, wireless communication. We have smoke signals. We got to let people, hey, amazing. And then this whole telephone idea. And then you can make it portable and take it with you wherever you're going. You're not tethered to the wall with a twisted up cord. Wow, this is amazing. I don't want to talk to anybody. Whoa, just text me. What happened to us? I mean, it has to affect humanity that we are getting trained, or perhaps we must like it. Otherwise, we wouldn't bend toward it. That we just don't want this human interaction. Is it any wonder people feel so lonely these days? So many things are designed to discontinue human interaction. Credit card purchase. Now you go to especially if you're in California, you go to the fast food chain, and because the cost of labor now is ridiculous, what are some of the owners of McDonald's doing? They put in a kiosk. Oh, there goes that. So I don't even... Hey, welcome to McDonald's. Can I help you? Gone. Yeah, I'd like a quarter pounder, please. Gone. Is that going to be cash or charge today? Used to be check. Cash or charge? All of those interactions gone. Gone. In fact, price setting. I'm not saying it's a wrong idea, but I am saying that when we used to barter and we used to haggle, it was just more human interaction. So many of those elements of our society have been absolutely stripped. And that is why, as Christians, we really do need to work hard to make sure that we have genuine human interaction known as Christian fellowship. In your local church, get to know people. I'm telling you, it'll do you good. Maybe you think, oh, those people, they're all so dorky. All they do is talk about Jesus. They're just so fuddy-duddy. They're not cool. They don't get any of the movies. It'll do you good to interact with them. It'll reset your compass. It'll help you to remember the things that are important, because you can't replace human relationships. Try it. Been feeling blue? I would ask you, how much interaction with human beings do you have? I'm more than a morning, even though that's gone. Mrs. Friel and I comment on this on the regs lately. We walk by, we love to walk. So here's the two things we notice. We'll be in gateways, the beltway, the walking thing. What do they call it in Atlanta? There's a name for it.
The Greenway?
The Greenway.
Yeah.
All right. So it's like 10 feet wide. And there's 5-6 teenagers, even adults, that are walking toward you. We instinctively get into single file. One of us just folds behind the other. They don't. And then you walk by him and there's no, hey, thanks. Hey, morning, how you doing? Nothing. It's being stripped from us. And I'm telling you, it ain't good for us. Ain't getting human interaction. Join your church. Start going. Start talking. Linger. I got to tell you, I remember before being a Christian feeling like, oh, those Christians. Oh, they aren't hip, daddy-o. They just, you know, they don't do the spectacular things that I do. Just the thought of hanging around. Then I got saved. Now it's like, them's my peeps. Those are the people I want. And like all the cool, That to me is repulsive. Now it's fellowship in Christ. So consider that jerk of a human being I was to the man I am today, who is like counting down the hours to Sunday morning. And it's not just because I have to preach. I'm thinking about the fellowship that we're going to have afterwards, because once a month we do communion and then we stick around for a meal. Everybody brings stuff and we just hang. I can't wait for pot providence. Because we don't believe in luck on Sunday morning. 1-877-282-2337.
Hold on a second. We were going to do beep talk, but first, before you do
that. Oh, am I supposed to do that?
Yeah, before you do that, though, what kind of spectacular things did you do before you were saved?
Everything.
Everything. That wasn't hip.
Oh, I did everything or that was cool.
Yeah.
It was me. Me.
Like,
me. It was because...
Did you really say daddy-o?
Probably. And groovy. Hip. Jamming. All that.
Hey, I got a question about repentance. I'm really curious about it. I know it's a turning away from sin and changes the will and the emotions. And I just want to know, is repentance, I mean, obviously if it's leaving sin, and we know sin by the knowledge of the law, is repentance basically turning from disobedience from the law and following the law? I'm just curious on your thoughts on this.
It's all that. Yeah, it's all that, but it's a different heart motivation. If it's just law and we obey, well, then we can obey and that's pleasing to the authorities, but that's not what God is after. God is after our whole heart. That is the thrust, in my opinion, of Matthew 1 through 10. He wants all of you. He wants unto death, that if you love your family more than him, you're not worthy of him. He wants the totality of you, and we should willingly surrender. Why? Because he's worthy, and he's that good, and he's that gracious. I'm dead to me. I want to live for you, Lord, and we obey out of the heart. I think it was Luther who said, the life of the Christian is a life of repentance. Sometimes maybe we get a little confused about you repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Like, okay, I did that. Now what? Well, you keep on repenting because we keep on sinning, not to get saved, but because you're now in a relationship with God. So you continue to repent. It's foot washing, if you will, so that your relationship with your Savior has a clear slate, that there's nothing that hinders or grieves him. And so we repent regularly, daily ain't a bad idea. Not to get saved, but because we are saved and we delight to do his will, and we're bummed out when we don't. So yeah, you should keep pursuing obedience to the laws, but don't be a Pharisee, don't be a scribe, don't do it for the sake of religiosity, don't be like an Old Testament prophet, no, don't offer sacrifices with no heart. Strive to be obedient out of love, keeping God's laws, not in order to get saved, but because you have been saved. 877-282-2337.
Todd, you talk a lot about kids not wanting to talk to their parents. I'm kind of that generation. I'm 38 years old, but I'm in the opposite situation, and my dad will not speak to me. Although if you asked him, he, I'm sure, would tell you that he's one of these parents who's lost a child who will no longer speak with him. To keep it short, my husband and my dad were in a business deal for 7 years. We left. My dad was very upset that we left that and has not spoken to me since, which is 5 years. In those 5 years, I have had brain surgery for a brain tumor. He did not come to see me or visit or talk to me during any of that. How do you deal with a parent who won't talk to you? I do not exist to him.
I'm so sorry. Don't do that, Dad. Even pagan parents shouldn't act like that. Certainly not Christian parents. I understand. Your kids sin against you. You sinned against them. Nobody should be shocked. Maybe they have wounded you. And maybe you feel like, well, I'm not going to be a doormat because that kid's just going to walk all over me. Well, your kid ain't Nancy Sinatra. So why don't you get back to loving your kid, visiting in the hospital, doing things, And I would say to both parties, again, would you like to know, in my estimation, the golden key for reconciliation? Here it comes, repentance. Your dad now, I'll talk to you, madam. Your dad has wounded you. It is, to be sure. But we're always probably naive at best when we think, when business deals go under, that we always behave perfectly and we set everything right. And even if we didn't know that we were kind of putting the knife in and twisting it, we're doing it. So maybe, just maybe, I would encourage you to do what I've encouraged parents to do 1,000 times. Call up your dad. Repent. Face to face, better. But make every effort to get with him and just say, I'm sorry for the ways that I expect nothing back. And you just watch God work. There's tons of hope for reconciliation. I'm telling you, repentance, it is the reconciliation key. Try it. And then call us back, 877-282-2337. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.